ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه فما بعد قال تعالى اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واذا سالك عبادي عني فاني قريب اجيب دعوه الداع اذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. Now, brothers and sisters, in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the middle of the ayat relating to Ramadan al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this particular ayah. The meaning of which is, when my slave asks about me, I am close to him. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I am close to him. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّعَيِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Let him ask me what he wants and I will give him. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Let him obey me and let him have faith, let him have iman in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So that he might be guided. Now if you reflect on this and say, why is this ayah in the middle of the ayat relating to Ramadan, then it's quite easy to understand why. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows why. I am not trying to interpret on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one can understand that with respect to Ramadan al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fasting has been prescribed on you as it was prescribed on those before you, so that you may become لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fasting has been prescribed on you as it was prescribed on those before you, so that you may become muttaqoon. What is taqwa? Taqwa is translated as fear of Allah. Taqwa is not fear of Allah. Taqwa is fear of disobeying, fear of incurring the anger, fear of displeasing the one we love the most. And what is the dalil for that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Allah said about the believers that the believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone and anything else. Fear is a negative emotion that produces hatred. Fear does not produce love. But Allah said, who are the believers? Who love Allah the most, over and above everyone and everyone, everything else. So therefore, my understanding of taqwa is that taqwa is that feeling in the believer which arises out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I must never displease Allah. I fear to displease Allah. I don't fear Allah. I fear to displease Allah. And why do I fear to displease Allah? Because I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more I love Allah, the more I fear to displease Him. The hubb of Allah and the taqwa of Allah are directly proportional. And the hubb of Allah is the result of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu from His descriptions of how He described Himself in the Quran in several places. And we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more from our experience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. In our lives, what are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? And that's the reason why reflection and introspection is such an important part of the spiritual development and maturity of a human being. Sadly, today we have got used to living such ridiculous mechanical lives that we have no time to reflect and no time to think and no time to introspect. And so the price that we are paying for that is a disconnect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And because of that disconnect, it creates stress and it creates fear and it creates anxiety and it creates depression. All of these are not solved by swallowing Prozac. These are solved by connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Darkness can only be dispelled by light. And that light is the noor of understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the middle of the ayat relating to fasting, which increases, or it is intended to increase our taqwa, mentioned this particular ayah which relates to dua. Why is dua in the middle of the ayat of relating to taqwa? Because it is only natural that when the slave has become conscious of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his or her life, when the slave has become concerned about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always in every action and every speech, when the slave has developed tawakkul and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, then automatically the slave will ask about Allah. And see the mercy of our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when he asks about me, I am close to him. Just the action of asking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He hasn't even got an answer yet. He asked. He only asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, who is Allah? He hasn't even got an answer yet. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the action of asking itself is so beloved to me that I become close to my slave. And automatically, if Allah is close to you, then what do? You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. You ask about Allah, Allah gets close to you, and you ask Allah now directly because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised and said, let him ask and I will give. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if all the human beings ever created, and this is a hadith of Qudsi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if all the human beings ever created, from the first of them to the last of them, who does that include? It includes everybody. All the kings and queens, all the poor people, all the middle class people, all the upper class people, it includes all the anbiya alayhimu salam, including Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if all the human beings ever created from the first of them to the last of them, and all the jinn ever created from the first of them to the last of them, if they all collect in one place all together and simultaneously ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single desire in their hearts. Not one by one. Not the most important desires. Give me 3 points. No. If all of them collect together in one place and they all ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single thing they desire all together, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them that, gives them that, and Allah is more than capable of giving them that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that will not even decrease from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as a needle that is dipped into the ocean and pulled out. The water that might stick to the tip of that needle, even to that extent, it will not decrease the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if He grants all of this together. So what is your dua? What is my dua? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, let him ask me, I will give him. And then Allah put two conditions. The promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran are conditional. Allah put two conditions. First condition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Let him obey me. Let him obey me. And let him have faith in me. My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not discretionary. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the reason for our creation. No matter what else we might be doing, if we are not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the first of that obedience is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The uluhiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the number one responsibility of the abd. Ubudiyat is the expression of the acceptance of the uluhiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. That is the first, that's the entry into Islam is with ibadah. La ilaha illallah. Everything else comes after that. So obedience, the first part of obedience is to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and nobody else. And as a result of that, iman builds. We have to understand that faith is a consequence of obedience. They are both related. Also, if you have faith, you will obey. But obedience comes first, as a result of which faith comes. And then, of course, the faith will drive the obedience as well. So, dua, therefore, is such a critical part of a person's life and such a critical part of the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. He said, dua is the brain, it is the essence of ibadah. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put conditions and boundaries on every kind of ibadah. The fasting of Ramadan cannot be done in Shawwal. The fasting of Ramadan is in Ramadan only. Hajj cannot be performed anytime you feel like going to Makkah. Hajj is only in that particular day, on that particular day of Dhul-Hijjah. Tawaf of Kaaba cannot be done somewhere else. You can't make a model of Kaaba, put it here and make tawaf. No. That is only in that place. Salah, Fard Salah cannot be performed outside its time. You can't say, today I'm in a hurry, I woke up early in the morning at 3 o'clock, so I'm going to pray Fajr and go to sleep. There's no Fajr. Fajr comes in at whatever time it comes in. There are also shurut with respect to where you can pray, how you can pray. What must be your condition before you can pray? You must be in a state of tahara, you must have wudu. Your clothing must cover a certain part of your body, minimum. The satar must be covered. All of this, for every ibadah, all the ibadat, they come with an instruction manual. This. And if you don't follow that, then your salah is not valid, your hajj is not valid, your fasting is not valid. But with the essence of ibadah, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called it, he said mukhul ibadah. He said ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. He said du'a is ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put no conditions. No conditions. There is no time for mamnu of du'a. Du'a can be made in any place, at any time, in any state. And the reason for that is that dua is directly speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It makes eminent sense to me. If I am in trouble and I need Allah's help, you say, no, first go make ghusl. Where is ghusl? I'm stuck. I'm in a serious problem. May Allah save us from problem. I'm stuck now. I need to ask, Ya Allah, I need your help. No, no, hold on. First go make ghusl. Go make, put on one thobe, tie one turban. Huh? Where is the time for all that? I need the help right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put no conditions. You can make dua standing, sitting, lying down, walking, running, flying, whatever situation you might be in. Obviously, there are better ways of doing dua. If you are, you know, in a state of tahara, alhamdulillah. If you are facing the qibla, alhamdulillah. If you are wearing decent clothes, alhamdulillah. If you are sitting in a masjid, in the Kaaba, in the haram, in Medina, in Arafah, and so on and so forth. Time for tahajjud. All of these are good things with respect to dua, preferable. But not one of them is a condition for the acceptance of dua. Nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ask me, I will give you. Ud'uni astajib lakum. Allah did not say, ask me at 10 o'clock in the morning, I will give you. No. Ask me, I will give you. Ya Allah, when shall I ask? Anytime. What shall I ask? Anything. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no boundaries. Allah does not say, ask me what I can give you. Ask me what is in my power. No. Ask me and I will give you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who is too proud to ask, I will throw him in the hellfire. So it is not only a question of asking, asking is ubudiyah. It's the essence of ibadah, meaning it's the essence of being the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who is too proud to ask, he is going against this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fi jahannam adakhirin. We'll throw him in the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu created Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam. And when he sent them into the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a resource. And what is the resource? Dua. And what is the nature of this dua? Tawbah. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. When they came from Jannah, what did Allah give them? Dua. And the nature of the dua is tawbah. And what is the effect of that dua? That dua is the key to Jannah. That is the return ticket. You have been sent for a purpose. You have not been sent away. You have not been thrown out. Iblis was thrown out, sent out. No return back to Jannah. Exit stamp, khalas, parhas, get out. But with Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, there is no exit stamp. You have been sent for a reason, for a purpose. Go finish the job and come back. Here is the return ticket. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Return to Jannah. The same return ticket for us, because we are the children of them. We are their children. Dua and tawbah, turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us and showed us how to make dua. How to make dua. Zakariya alayhi salam is making dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nida an khafiyah. Small voice. Standing by himself in his mihrab. Soft voice. You're speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. A man came into the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting there. The man is making dua. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, lower your voice. Your Rabb is not deaf. Why are you shouting? Sometimes our brothers and sisters, when they do Amin bil Jahar after in Surah Al-Fatiha, they say, Amin. Allah is not deaf. There is no need to shout. Do Amin bil Jahar, alhamdulillah. If that is the maslak you are following, no problem. But do it with adab. There is this whole issue of adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, the adab of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that we seem to have forgotten, nobody teaches. That's a different subject, I don't want to go there right now because I want to talk about dua. But seriously, think about that. Nida'an khafiyah. And then what did he say, Zakariya alayhi salam? Zakariya alayhi salam, Allah has explained this whole story to us for what? He's not simply telling a story, Zakariya alayhi salam did this, no. It is to teach us how to make dua. Small voice. Then what did he say? He mentioned his own incapacity. He mentioned his own weakness. He's saying, Ya Allah, I have become old. My hair has become white. My bones have lost their strength. My wife, she is beyond the age of childbirth. She's an old woman. She can't bear children anymore. She's beyond this age. And then Zakariya alayhi salam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that which in our human consideration is impossible. He says, Oh Allah, give me an heir. Give me a son to carry forward this work. He did not say, give me a second wife who is 16 years old and give me a son through her. No, he is not teaching Allah how to do it. Why is he saying my wife is old? If he is going to ask for another wife, he doesn't have to say my wife is old. He's not asking, he's saying I want a son. How will the son come? That's not my problem. Allah did not say, please show me a way. You know, you're asking me something, show me also. From where shall I give? No. How will it come? Impossible. Impossible for you, not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the one who could bring out a pregnant camel from a rock, from a mountain. What is the big deal about giving a child to somebody who is alive? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us the method of dua. So what is the method that we learn? First go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and ask Him in the way to ask Him. Be conscious of your own insignificance. Whatever you and I might be in this dunya, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is nothing. Even if you were the king of the entire world, Allah did not give the kingdom of the whole world to anybody. I'm talking about material kingdom, temporal kingdom. I'm not talking about the Risalat of Rasulullah Sallam, which is not for this world, it is for the entire universe. But I'm talking about the kingdom of kings. Allah did not give the rule of the entire world at one time to anyone. But even if you got that, even if you became the single ruler, mutlaqul anan, with your hukumat, with your kingdom, the entire world and every human being that contains, still you would be king of something which is smaller than a grain of sand on a beach. So big deal, what kingdom is that? I am king of the grain of sand. You are less than a germ. So, own that. Accept that. Put that before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, I am nothing. This is not a modest statement. That is a statement of fact. I am nothing is a big statement. I am not even nothing. I am less than nothing. Approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility. Like Zakariya alayhi salam did. Small voice talking about his own incapacity. But when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this position of insignificance, when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in keeping with His majesty and grace and kingdom. When you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't ask like you are asking your elder brother or something. My sheikh used to say, अल्लाह को क्या समझ के मांगते हो? क्या बड़ा भाई है तुम्हारा? अरे अल्लाह को अल्लाह समझ के मांगो, ये क्या मांगते हो? छोटी छोटी चीजें मांगते हो, या अल्लाह ये दे, या अल्लाह ये दे, अल्लाह नहीं दे सकता बड़ी चीज, दो मांगो अल्लाह से। Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in keeping with His majesty and grace. Allah is not a human being like you. You know, ask small things. Then when you ask something, then shaitan will say, how can you get that? People make dua. They come and say, doctors have said there's the cancer is there, tertiary stage, terminal stage, nothing can be done. Please make dua. Hamari Urdu mein bolte hain, dua hi kar sakte hain na, aur kya kar sakte? Dua is one worthless, useless thing. We can only do that. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeping His majesty and His power in mind. The bigger your problem, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to show how He can solve it. If an ant falls into a teaspoon of water, for the ant that is a huge problem. That's a matter of life and death. For the ant falling into a teaspoon of water is a huge problem. Literally a matter of life and death. But for you, if you want to rescue the ant, is that a problem? It's nothing. I mean, you can do it in your sleep. Ta'ala Allahul Amthal. I do not give the example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like this, keeping His grace and majesty. Ask with happiness, Ya Allah, I really got something now for you. Here is this case of cancer. Everybody says nothing can be cured. Ya Allah, show them. Build a ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Build a connection with Allah. In the formal ibadat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically said what you can say and what you cannot say. For example, in salah, you can't say, well, you know, I love Allah so much, I have written this beautiful poetry about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this hamd. Very, very beautiful hamd. So instead of Suratul Fatiha, I am going to read this hamd and sana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you do that? Salah is gone, finished. No matter how beautiful your hamd is, there is no salah. In salah, you have to recite specifically Suratul Fatiha first, after that something else from the Quran. But in dua, nothing. No boundaries, no conditions. Say what you want. Say how you want. In salah, people do all kinds of funny things. Somebody in America, they said, why should we read Suratul Fatiha and all this in Arabic? Nobody understands. So, we are going to do it in English. People do all kinds of funny things. Well, Arabic is condition of acceptance of the Salah. In Fard Salah, if you speak any language other than Arabic, your Salah is gone. And that's the reason why in some masajid, this is on a side note, but on some masajid, people write Arabic calligraphy in front, and then they also put a translation under that, which is in Urdu or English or something. Now in Hanafi fiqh, if a person who is in salah, if he reads that translation, his salah is invalid. He's out of salah, his salah is gone. So when you write those things, don't write the translation. Leave the Arabic, or at least don't write it in the front. Maybe in the side or on top is okay, because people, you know, you don't look on the top. But something is right in front, it's human nature. That's also why young people today, they wear t-shirts and so on with, you know, slogans and stuff written on it. I mean, on the front it's okay, nobody can see it, but if it's on the back, then you are the cause for somebody else's salah being ruined, because that fellow standing behind you, now he's looking at your t-shirt. But in dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put no conditions. Ask any language, anywhere, anyhow. There's no Arabic is not a precondition of dua. Make dua in your language. All languages are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All languages are languages from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No conditions. Develop a language, your own personal language, to ask Allah. Hasan Basri rahmatullah is praying tahajjud. He stands on this musalla and he says, Ya Allah, the whole world is sleeping. Even the stars have gone to sleep. There are only two who are awake. You on your arsh and me here. He's talking to Allah. Develop your own language. Speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was Samiul Basir, real time. He is seeing, he is hearing. And then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala absolutely anything. Ask Him in any language. Ask Him anywhere. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Sahaba asked him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, we make dua and we find that sometimes what we ask Allah gives us, and at other times there are things which we ask Allah but we never get them. Now, yesterday I was saying in class that in my life I have seen this and I have experienced this, and maybe some of you share that experience. There are du'as that I made that today when I reflect on this and I say, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give me what I asked. Because if Allah had given me what I asked, today that thing would have been a big musibat for me. Would have been a big problem for me. I didn't realize. I don't know. I have no knowledge of the future. So I ask for something which I think is good. But now when I think back and say, if Allah had given me this thing when I asked for it, today I would have been sitting with my head in my hand and saying, what on earth did I get? So thank Allah for what He gave you and thank Allah for what He didn't give you. So Sahaba asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is our experience that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something and Allah gives it to us, Alhamdulillah. But there are other things which we ask Allah for and Allah does not give us. So, but Allah said, ask me, I will give you. So how do we put these two things together? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are three ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts du'as. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all du'as. But the way He accepts them are different. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts du'as in three ways. One, you ask something, Allah gives you. Straightforward, you know, I asked for this, I got this. Ya Allah, I don't have a job, give me a job, Allah gives me a job. Ya Allah, I don't have children, give me children, Allah gives children. Whatever. Second way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts dua is that you ask for something, Allah does not give that thing to you, but in exchange for that dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes a calamity that was to befall you in your qadr. So it was written into your qadr that when you are driving home today, you would meet a truck and you would become part of the truck. But you made some dua in Salatul Fajr. Allah did not give you that dua, and that truck got stuck in a traffic jam and you reached home safely. Now you don't know this. You do not know. But this is what happens. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah removes a calamity in exchange for the dua. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is a third kind of dua, which you make the dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give it to you, and Allah in His hikmat knows what is good and what is not good for you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you only what is good for you. So this dua Allah has not given to you. And also it so happens that in your qadr, which also only Allah knows, at that point in time there is no calamity that was to befall you. So there is no calamity that has been removed. Rasulullah said, when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you all this. And Allah will say to you, my slave, you asked me for this and I gave you. He will say, you asked me for this, but this calamity was going to befall you and I stopped this in exchange for your dua. So we will actually see this, whatever is was to happen. And then, and listen carefully, and then Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, my slave, you asked me for this dua, which is the third one. You asked me for this dua. I did not give it to you. And at that time, there was no calamity to befall you. So that dua of yours which you made, which you asked me for, I did not grant it in the life of the dunya. And there was no calamity, there was no musibat that was to come on you. So that was not removed. That dua is with me now. Ask me now and I will give you whatever you want. Having said this, Rasulullah said, if you realize the value of that, if you realize the value of that, he said, you will wish that your whole life, you make dua after dua after dua, and none is accepted in this dunya. Nothing. Because all those du'as are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Now let's think about that. Even if there is one such du'a, and Allah says, now ask me what you want, I will give you. Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, give me jannah. Khalas, your hope, go and try. And that's the reason why we must make lots of dua. Make dua for yourself, make dua for your family, make dua for your friends and relatives, make dua for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make dua for our enemies who want to destroy us. Make dua for them. How tragic that people think that they can destroy you. It's a figment of the imagination, the stupidity. They cannot destroy you. How can you do something which is not in your power? People ask me this question, what shall we do when there is this danger? I said, what danger? Oh, so and so wants to kill me. Well, let him want. How does it matter? Who has the power to give life and to give death? Donald Trump? Want, anybody can want anything. I want to become the king of England. Will I become? Who wants to become the king of one damp little island anyway? I mean, that's a different issue. Seriously, ask yourself this question. What rubbish is this? Some so-and-so wants. So what? Who cares? We want to destroy the Muslims. Yeah, very nice. Do. Want. Do that. No one has the power of to give life or to take away life except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا نافع ولا ضار إلا الله. So make dua. Oh Allah, change their hearts, change their minds. Let them see the reality of who actually has power, and that is you. And the final thing, be afraid of dua. Beware of dua. Fear the dua of the oppressed. Not oppressed Muslim, of the oppressed. Rasulullah ﷺ said, the dua of the one who is oppressed against his or her oppressor goes directly to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing comes between that person and his dua and the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is irrespective of whether the person making dua is a Muslim or a non-Muslim. Think about that. If a non-Muslim is making dua, is he making it to Allah? No. He is making dua to whatever he worships. But whatever he worships is not worthy of worship. So the dua goes to the one who is worthy of worship. He can call Ganesha and he can call Shiva and he can call who he wants. Doesn't matter. The dua goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will answer this dua. So if a non-Muslim makes dua against a Muslim oppressor, Allah will answer this dua even though the non-Muslim does not worship Allah. Even though the atheist does not even deny, he does not even accept the existence of Allah, it makes no difference. Reality does not change because you do not deny, you do not accept its existence. The sun does not stop shining on the man or woman who says, I do not believe in the sun. Let him go out let him go outside and the sun will shine on him. He can deny the sun, doesn't make any difference. So beware of the dua of the oppressed. Why am I saying this to you? Because as far as the oppressed is concerned, the oppressed can be anybody who you have control over. The oppressed can be your wife, and in many cases it is. The oppressed can be your husband. In many cases, that is the case. Yeah, women are not free from oppressing others. Neither are men. The oppressed can be your child. The oppressed can be your parent. The oppressed can be your servant. The oppressed can be your employee. The oppressed can be your employer. The oppressed can be anybody. Beware of the dua of the oppressed. Because if they raise their hands against you, believe me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond. And that's something I remind myself and you. Make very sure. Whatever issues, solve them in this dunya. Because if you take them with you in your qabr, then you are toast. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to accept all your du'as. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you that which you cannot even imagine from sources that you cannot imagine. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the difficulties of all those who have difficulties. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure the illnesses of all those who have illnesses. Physical illnesses, mental illnesses, spiritual illnesses. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors of hidayat for all of us on the face of this earth. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with love for one another, with compassion for one another, with the only fear in our hearts being the fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to free our hearts from the fear of everything and everyone else other than Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and His displeasure. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the words that He wants to hear in our dua. And then to reward us in keeping with His majesty and grace. Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayh narrates in the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha a hadith which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man made this dua. He said, Rabbi lakal hamdu kama yambagi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. He said, Rabbi lakal hamd. My Rabb, to you is all praise and all thanks. Kama yambagi li jalali wajhik. In keeping with the grace and majesty of your glorious countenance, in keeping with the glory and majesty of your face, wa azimi sultanik, and as much and as great as your kingdom. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the recording angels had never heard this dua before. So they did not know what to write. So they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what the slave has said even before he thinks about it. So they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said, Ya Rabbal Alameen, your slave made this dua, we do not know what reward to write, what shall we write? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what did he say? As I've mentioned many times before, all of these ahadith, all such ahadith, what did he say means what? Allah is establishing those angels as witnesses in favor of the slave. What did he say? It does not mean Allah does not know. Allah knows even before the slave himself knew. So the malaika say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, the angels say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, he said, Rabbi lakal hamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. What shall we write as reward for this dua? O my Rabb, all praise and all glory and all majesty and all thanks to you in keeping with the glory and magnificence of your face and in keeping with the glory and magnificence of your kingdom. What reward shall we write? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu says, you be the witness for my slave that I will give him reward in keeping with the glory and magnificence of my face. And in keeping with the glory and magnificence of my kingdom. This is my Rabb Jalla Jalala. He gives without measure. He doesn't count. Those who are afraid of losing their treasure, they have to count. My Rabb Jalla Jalalu has guards on the doors of his treasure houses, like the kings of the world have security guards on the doors of their treasure houses, with one difference. The treasure houses of the kings of the world, their guards are supposed to keep people out and to guard the treasure from others. But the guards on the doors of the treasure houses of my Rabb, their role is the opposite. Their role is to call the people and tell them, take as much as you can. This is how to take. Come here, take from here. And that is why one of our greatest scholars, Ibn al-Jawzi said to his friends, when you go into Jannah, look for me. And if you do not find me in Jannah, ask Allah and say, Allah, there was this man who used to remind us about you. There was this man who used to talk about your glory and magnificence. Allah, he is not here, bring him here. Wherever he is here, bring him here. And I want to end with that. I want to ask you that when you go into Jannah, if you don't find me there, ask Allah. And tell Allah to bring me from wherever I am. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of you among the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant that you are granted shade of his arsh on a day when there is no shade except his shade. رَبَّنَا أَذِلَّنَا تَحْتَ أَرْشُكَ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّكَ. O Allah, give us shade under your arsh on a day when there is no shade except your shade. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu that when you raise your hands for dua, Allah should accept this dua before you lower your hands. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the words that He wants to hear and to accept them from you. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise you, to take your life in a state of iman and yaqeen, to give you the daraja of shahada fi sabilillah, to raise you with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba on the day of judgment, to keep you in their company, to give you the shade of his arsh, and under the shade of his arsh to raise you on thrones of pearls, Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant that you are given the water of Kawthar by the Mubarak hand of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that your thirst is quenched and you are never thirsty again. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that you follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam across the Sirat with the speed of lightning, and that you are entered into Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghayri hisab. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannatul Firdausul A'la to grant you the greatest and the most magnificent of his ni'mat, which is to look at him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.